بيته الطيبين الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
صلى الله عليك سيدي ومولاي يا رسول الله، صلى الله عليك يا حبيب الله، صلى الله عليك سيدي ومولاي يا أمير المؤمنين ويا إمام المتقين، صلى الله عليك سيدي ومولاي يا أبا عبد الله يا رحمة الله الواسعة ويا باب نجاة الأمة، مظلوم يا قتيل كربلاء، يا ليتنا ثم يا ليتنا كنا معكم سادتي فنفوز فوزا عظيما. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إنا أنزلناه في ليلة مباركة إنا كنا منذرين، فيها يفرق كل أمر حكيم، أمرا من عندنا إنا كنا منذرين، رحمة من ربك إنه هو السميع العليم. آمنا بالله صدق الله العلي العظيم. لتزكية النفوس وتطهير القلوب وتعجيل فرج مولانا وسيدنا بقية الله العظم الحجة ابن الحسن روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، عطروا مجالسكم وقلوبكم وأنفسكم بذكر الصلاة على محمد وآل محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
An examination of the Holy Quran, the pure, infallible words of the Almighty subhanahu wa ta'ala, reveals that the most beloved, or one of the most beloved attributes of Allah to Himself, is the attribute of Ar-Rahmah, the mercy, the infinite mercy that has no bounds. You find that in numerous verses in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to this mercy and asks people to address Him as Ar-Rahman. In fact, we also have verses that non-believers, people who do not believe in the message of Allah through His prophets, also refer to God as Ar-Rahman. We find in Surah Yasin, for example, when they describe Allah, they say Ar-Rahman. And of course, within the first verse of the Holy Quran, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, a verse that according to the school of Ahlul Bayt, is part of every surah in the Holy Quran, we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has selected his attributes of Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim to be the constituents of this verse that we begin many of our daily actions with. There are three levels of mercy according to our understanding of the Quran. One can classify the mercy of Allah and how it is received specifically within this world, and for the purposes of the holy month of Ramadan, we can divide it into three. Ulama say the first level of mercy is referred to as Ar-Rahma Ar-Rahmaniyya, the mercy that belongs to the one who is compassionate. Now, this Rahma Ar-Rahmaniyya is for all of mankind, for all of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, human beings, animals, plants. Every single creation of Allah is a recipient of His mercy, whether we feel it or we don't feel it. And that's why you find that in the Quran, Allah says that everything in this universe exalts His name and does tasbih, whereas we are oblivious of this. وَإِن مِّن شَيْءٍ إِلَّا يُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِهِ وَلَكِنْ لَا تَفْقَهُونَ تَسْبِيحَهُمْ. You cannot comprehend the tasbih of the creation of Allah. Not only do animals and plants and human beings do tasbih, but according to this verse, every single creation, in other words, the jamadat, the solids, the tree as a plant, the various different types of animals, as well as everything else that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created in this universe, is in constant glorification of His name. And in one verse of the Quran, Allah says that the tayr, the birds, also glorify Allah, being part of this formula. And then He says, كُلٌّ يَعْلَمُ صَلَاتَهُ وَتَسْبِيحَهُ. Each one of these creations know how to do their salah and how to do their tasbih. So next time you hear a bird singing, or next time you hear an animal, or next time you walk past any of the creations of Allah, know that they are in constant remembrance of the mighty, Almighty subhanahu wa ta'ala. This rahmah of Allah is not confined to one particular creation. It's for all. The second type of rahmah, of the mercy of Allah, is referred to as ar-rahmah ar-rahimiyyah, the mercy that belongs to the attribute of Allah, referred to in the first verse of the Quran, in the basmala, as ar-rahim. This is more restrictive. This is for those individuals, for human beings, that respond to the commands of Allah and obey His prophets. And those who go and follow the siratul mustaqim. In other words, they do not disobey the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah bestows on them His favors and His mercy. And this particular mercy is reserved for them. This mercy, the ulama say, will be manifested on the day of judgment in paradise, where you will see that the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so vast on the day of judgment that even the shaitan, who is the number one disbeliever in Allah, will have some kind of feeling that Allah's mercy will also accompany him. He will also be part of the mercy of Allah, and he will also be forgiven. Such will be the mercy of Allah on the day of judgment, the rahmah of Allah. This ar-rahmah ar-rahimiyyah is restrictive to those who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's message. Then there is a specific rahmah found in certain places, certain times. Al-azmina wal-amkina. This rahmah, for example, is found in certain places like the holy house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-bayt, baytullah al-haram in Mecca al-mukarrama, or the houses of Allah that His awliya are buried in, such as the holy shrine of the Prophet and the Imma, salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayhim ajma'een, or any mosque of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala where His name is remembered and He is worshipped. This rahmah is found in these places. At the same time, His rahmah, this specific third type of rahmah, is also found in certain times of the year. And the most time of the year where this rahmah is found is the holy month of Ramadan. How is this rahmah manifested? According to the Holy Prophet of Islam, this rahmah is manifested in the holy month of Ramadan, where you receive many things without doing much. In other words, all you do is you abstain from eating and drinking and several other prohibited acts, whereas Allah gives you many, many folds. He gives you the fact that you, when you breathe, you do tasbih, and when you sleep, you are worshipping, and your salah is accepted, and your a'mal are accepted, and your salah of wajib is equivalent to 70 times salah in other months of the year. And then one verse of the Quran in the month of Ramadan equates to the whole of the Quran recitation in other months. So this rahmah is vast, is enormous, is magnificent in the holy month of Ramadan. But this rahmah, brothers and sisters, reaches its peak when? Laylatul Qadr, the night of Qadr, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rahmah has no bounds. Wasa'at rahmati kulla shay. Allah's rahmah will have no limitations. If it has any limitations in the holy month of Ramadan, it is limited to those individuals who answer the call of Allah. Ya ayyuhan nas, innahu qad aqbala ilaykum shahrullah, shahrun du'itum fihi ila ziyafatillah. You are invited to be the guests of Allah. The very important point here is, there is an invitation. But this invitation has to be accepted. Notice that not every individual accepts the invitation of Allah. If today we are invited to a specific place, a feast by an individual of high stature in the society, normally we expect generosity. The generosity has limits. But this individual might say that this night, I have designated this night, and the amount of generosity has no bounds. If you come to my feast, if you accept my invitation for that night, and that night only, I will make sure that for the rest of your life, because this light, this particular night is equal to an average lifetime. It's equal to 30,000 days, which is equal to 83 years. Laylatul Qadri khayrun min alf shahr. An average lifetime for a human being is around 70 to 80 years. Here Allah says that for one night, if you accept my invitation, I will make you happy and prosperous for the rest of your life and on the day of judgment and in paradise. Now this Laylatul Qadr, this grand night, sometimes people refer to it as the night of power. Others refer to it as the night of grandeur. Some people refer to it as the mighty night. The correct translation in English is the night of decree and destination. It's the night where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees for each and every one of His creation, you and I included, what our provisions in terms of everything that will happen to us for the next coming year. Al-Qadr in the Arabic language comes from taqdeer, which means to measure up something. So it's the night of measure. Now, one of the most important things about Laylatul Qadr, as we all know, as according to the understanding that we have from the Holy Quran, that the Holy Quran in its entirety was revealed in one night. One night of Laylatul Qadr is where the beautiful message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was descended to the heart of the Prophet. The question that comes to the minds of many people, and the question that has probably been answered many times, but for the purposes of this great night, we mention it very quickly, is that what is the difference between the terms that are referred to in the Quran as Tanzil and as Inzal? And we know that the Quran was revealed to the Holy Prophet for the period, for the duration of 23 years, whereas we claim, or the Quran says, we do not claim, إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةٍ مُبَارَكَةٍ لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ. The Quran was revealed in Laylatul Qadr. How can we explain this? Of course, the difference between the two terms is that everything in this universe, brothers and sisters, has two types of existence. It has the physical existence and the spiritual existence. We included, we have the physical being, and we have the spiritual existence. The most important part of our existence is what? The spiritual existence. You and I know each other through our physical being, correct? Today I know my friend, I see him, I can recognize his features. Tomorrow my friend dies. My friend will be buried, and this particular burial ground could be used as a place for crops and for trees to grow. This is an argument presented by philosophers. They say that this area where the body of a human being is buried, we come and plant trees. When the tree grows and it yields fruits, this fruit that has its, the tree has its branches on that place of earth, piece of earth that contains the remains of human beings, I come and eat that part, piece of fruit, an apple. Have I in reality eaten a part of you? Yes. Because you have been buried there. And of course, you have decomposed. You have become part of the soil. The tree grows. Can we say today that, for example, anywhere that we walk on the streets is not a place where people were buried many, many thousand years ago? And the place that we obtain the fruits were not places where people were considered to be a place that's considered to be a cemetery? Of course not. Any place on earth could be taken as a place that people were buried in. Therefore, the real existence is our spirit, is our ruh, is our nafs, Our physical being decomposes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment will resurrect us and give us a physical existence also, in order for the soul to attach itself back to the physical existence. However, we place a lot of emphasis in Islam and in some other religions on our spiritual existence. Everything has the spiritual existence. And that's why when we said that everything does tasbih, we do not see it. In reality, what does tasbih is the spiritual existence of everything. This cup of water has a physical existence that we all see, and it also has a spiritual creation that we do not see that glorifies Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, we understand that the Holy Quran has also a physical existence, as we see in front of us and we recite, and it also has a spiritual type of existence. That which is referred to in the Quran in many verses that you find this haqiqah, this fact being alluded to. For example, in Surah Al-Waqi'ah, بَلْ هُوَ قُرْآنٌ كَرِيمٌ بَلْ هُوَ قُرْآنٌ كَرِيمٌ فِي لَوْحٍ مَحْفُوظٌ. Or in another verse, بَلْ هُوَ قُرْآنٌ مَجِيدٌ فِي لَوْحٍ مَحْفُوظٌ. And in Surah Al-Waqi'ah, بَلْ هُوَ قُرْآنٌ كَرِيمٌ فِي كِتَابٍ مَكْنُونٌ لَا يَمَسُّهُ إِلَّا الْمُطَهَّرُونَ. Philosophers, commentators of the Quran say, this Quranun Kareem fi kitabin maknoon, this kitabin maknoon is unseen. It's like a preserved tablet, something that is not visible for you and I, but is visible to the mutahharoon. La yamassuhu illa al-mutahharoon. And who are the mutahharoon? Innama yuridu Allahu liyudhhiba ankum ar-rijs ahla al-bayt wa yutahhirakum tathira. Salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Therefore, what happened on the night of Qadr is that the spiritual existence, the spiritual creation of the Quran was revealed to the heart of the Prophet in its entirety. All the meanings of the Quran were revealed to the heart of the Prophet. Then throughout 23 years, the graduation of the revelation, as the Quran said, كِتَابٌ فُصِّلَتْ آيَاتُهُ كِتَابٌ أُحْكِمَتْ آيَاتُهُ ثُمَّ فُصِّلَتْ مِنْ لَدُنْ حَكِيمٍ عَلِيمٍ. The Quran was revealed in graduation of the third 23 years, part by part, to the Holy Prophet of Islam, Rasul al-A'zam Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The question comes, the next question on this great night is Qadr, this night of destiny. When we say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will write for each and one of us our provisions, what happens to us in the next year in terms of rizq, in terms of thawab, in terms of all our daily actions that we receive from Allah, everything that we are in the position of receiving from the Almighty subhanahu wa ta'ala, does this mean that everything is predestined? If we claim that everything is destined on this night, that means we do not have a say over what happens in the next year. Depending on how we worship Allah in this night, if I go to sleep quite early, I'm going to have a disastrous year. Or if I pray to Allah to the final moment and I worship Him and I understand, have ma'rifah of Him, and I'm in constant remembrance of the Almighty, then I'll have a beautiful, very relaxing year, according to some understanding. Of course, when it comes to this, we need to be careful. As far as the Qadr is concerned, as far as the decree is concerned, Allah says, I have destined for you, for everything, in terms of life, rizq, a certain standard. This is just to simplify it for the purposes of tonight. We can go into an in-depth analysis of qada and qadr and predestination and jabr and taqdir and all these kind of things. However, just simply, just passing by, we mention the following. That Allah says, I have given you a certain standard for you in the year. I have destined for you. For example, I have destined, according to my will and decree, that you live for 80 years. This can be of the two types of decrees. One is al-qada'u alladhi la yubaddal. Al-qada', the decree that cannot change. Or the other is the type of qada' that can change. So for example, Allah says that the limit for you is 80 years. You cannot live more than 80 years. But if you do not do certain things such as salatul rahim, visiting your family or close members of your family, or giving sadaqah or salatul layl, or these actions that have been recommended by the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam to increase your lifespan, then you may not reach 80 years, you may die at 70 years. So there is two kinds of levels. One, reached if you fulfill all these recommended acts that will aspire, that will elevate, that will increase your lifespan. And one lower limit, that people who are unfortunate not to understand these recommended acts will meet Allah at that particular age. That's according to rizq, as according to our lifespan, and also applies for rizq. Allah has destined for you a certain amount of rizq. We spoke about this yesterday. We said that every individual, Allah writes for them how much they can obtain, because He knows what is best for them. Now, there is an upper limit and there is a lower limit. If you are thankful to Allah, if you give charitable donations, then you will reach the upper limit. But if you are ungrateful to Allah, then you will reach the lower limit that is destined for you. So, إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ. This وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ refers to an expression in the Quran, sometimes used to highlight the importance of something that's been spoken about. الْقَارِعَةُ مَا الْقَارِعَةُ وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا الْقَارِعَةُ. Do you really comprehend what Laylatul Qadr is? One of our teachers once was saying, was speaking about Laylatul Qadr, and he says, sometimes we don't know the reality of electricity. People, lay people like ourselves, we may not be able to explain how electricity works, or how we, for example, get light from electricity. But this doesn't mean that we cannot benefit from electricity. So we benefit from the light. We benefit from the power that electricity provides for us. And that's what Allah says, وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ. Benefit, take it. You may not understand it. You may not comprehend what Laylatul Qadr is all about. But use it. Make sure it doesn't pass without fulfilling everything that you can do to maximize the potential and the benefit from this great night. Laylatul Qadri خَيْرٌ مِنْ أَلْفِ شَهْرٍ. Brothers and sisters, I have seen in my own eyes, and this is not because I take part in that particular activity, but because due to my work shift, sometimes at 5 in the morning, I see people before a sale, they're standing past, or they're standing in queues, you know, before the Christmas sale. I don't want to mention the names of the shops in case you guys want to go to them. These shops, they have these sales at 5 in the morning, and people sleep and camp outside these shops. Why? Because there is a sale. And they want to get the bargains before everyone else. And they're willing not to sleep that night to get the best deal possible. Notice how human beings have attached themselves to everything that is possible to take from this world. And they've forgotten the akhirah, the everlasting abode, the, our major or ultimate destination. Allah says, one night of the year, worship me sincerely, with full tawbah, with full inabah, with full concentration, and I will provide for you sustenance and rizq and thawab that is equal to more than 83 years. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His ultimate wisdom has not dedicated which night of the year, which night of the holy month of Ramadan, specifically this Laylatul Qadr is. Some people say, why do we not have a very strong narration highlighting when Laylatul Qadr is? We have narrations that says it could be the final 10 days of the holy month of Ramadan in terms of the odd nights. And we also have narrations that says that it could be the 19th night or the 21st night, or the strongest narrations that we have from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, where he whispered to an Arabi who wanted to find out which of the nights was the night of Qadr, because he couldn't stay up the rest of the time, or he couldn't come to the mosque. He said to him, stay up the night of the 23rd, or our brothers consider the night of the 27th as Laylatul Qadr. Allah says that as far as Laylatul Qadr is concerned, consider the last 10 nights of the holy month of Ramadan. And all I want from you is the odd nights. The odd nights spend in worship, remembrance, spend in prostration, spend in dua, supplication, invocation, munajat. Because if I tell you which day of the year of that particular 10 days is, then people will stay up for only that time and neglect their duties for the rest of the time. And Allah loves those who turn towards Him. There is a beautiful hadith, hadith Qudsi, that Allah says, لو علم المدبرين عني بحبي لهم. Those people who have turned their backs on me, those people who have gone astray, لو علم المدبرين عني بحبي لهم لماتوا عشقا. The people who have turned their backs, who are neglectful of Allah, their day and day out activities are full of worldly pleasures and immerse themselves in the toxification of this world and have neglected Allah, neglected their duties. Allah says, if only they turn and face me, if only they remember me, if they knew how much I love them, they will die due to the ishq and the love. This is what Allah is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves His ibad. You take one step to Allah and Allah will take 10 steps to you. You make one effort to get closer to Allah and Allah will make many, many folds of efforts to make Him closer to you and for Him to answer your calls and supplications and your needs. تنزل الملائكة والروح فيها. These malaika, the angels of Allah, descend not only on that great night, because the fi'l here, the verb used, is fi'l al-mudari', meaning that every year the malaika descend, every year until the day of judgment, the malaika descend with the ruh, doing what? وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ يُسَبِّحُونَ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّهِمْ وَيَسْتَغْفِرُونَ لِمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. The malaika are in constant glorification of Allah and they seek forgiveness for the people, the inhabitants of this earth. Who? Those who are righteous, those who are believers, of course. And on the night of Qadr, the malaika descend in order to seek forgiveness, in order to pray for us, in order to do istighfar for us. And they come down and descend with ar-ruh. Ar-Ruh, according to some of the Mufassireen, is Jibra'il alayhi salam. But according to many, many other Mufassireen, Ar-Ruh, as we understand from the hadith of Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi, is a creation of Allah bigger and more mighty than all of the other angels. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the term Ruh separately from the angels in many of the verses in the Holy Quran, in Surah Al-Fajr and others, where He highlights that this Ruh is a mighty creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that one of its responsibilities is giving life through the orders of Allah. It gives life and it descends on the night of Qadr to present the a'mal of mankind to Waliyullah al-A'zam, the representative of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this planet, in this earth, in this universe that exists as long as the universe exists. As we have the hadith, that لا تخلو الأرض من حجة الله, that the earth shall never be void of the representative of Allah. تنزل الملائكة والروح فيها بإذن ربهم من كل أمر سلام هي حتى مطلع الفجر. This salam means peace and tranquility. Some ulama, some mufassirin say this salam means rahmah, blessings, favors, abundant favors that are presented and are available for people to take on this greatest of nights, the greatest night of the year. Having understood the importance of this night, having understood the reality of Laylatul Qadr, we come to a very important question, and that is, what are we to do in this night? What is our responsibilities? How do we maximize the benefit? How do we utilize every single minute of it? As I mentioned before, if somebody was to come to us and would say, that for today and for today only, for the next few hours, if you would come to my house, if you'd respond to my call and invitation, then you'll be saved to the day of judgment. I will guarantee for you everything from the bounties of this world and the Akhirah. Not a single individual. Or if we may take a simple example, if someone was to come and say, think about this with yourself and Allah tonight. Think about it. That if someone was to say to you, stay up in the morning, till the morning, And the only thing I want you to do is not strenuous, nothing strenuous. Just glorification, just remembrance, just contemplation, tafakkur and tadabbur about me, a human being. And I will give you, for example, a certain amount of money, £100,000, or however much you need in your life. You don't need to work, you don't need to study, you don't need to qualify, you don't need to go for any exams. Just do this for me tonight, and I will give you whatever you want. Believe me, brothers and sisters, many of the people would do it. We'll stay up, we'll drink 100 cups of coffee, we'll do whatever possible to stay up that night so that they can guarantee this sum of money for themselves. And this is the problem with human beings. We are short-sighted. We look at this world, but we are neglectful of our akhirah. We want something to enjoy now, but we don't care about our ultimate destination. Here Allah says, spend the night in three types, in three divisions. The first is through collective worship, ibadah. Al-ibadatu al-ijtima' al-jama'ah. When you collectively worship Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves this. He likes the salah which is taking part as jama'ah in terms of the qada that is normally performed on this greatest night. He likes your constant supplication and remembrance, the dua of Jawshan al-Kabir, where more than 1,000 of his names are mentioned. And you say, Allahumma ni as'aluka bismika ya Allah, and you go on and mourn and mourn and on and on, and you seek protection from hellfire. These whole sets of actions, brothers and sisters, that have been narrated and are presented to us in the books, have a specific purpose. They have an outward reason and they have an inward possible wisdom behind it. The first act that is recommended is ghusl. Ghusl purifies your body physically. But the narrations say that when you do ghusl on Laylatul Qadr, have the intention that, oh Allah, this body of mine that I committed the sins with, I am washing it. I am starting again. I am trying, oh Allah, to cleanse my soul from all the filth that was the sins. So this ghusl and every act that we do, this dua of raf' al-masahif, where you place the Quran on your head and you seek the tawassul through the Ahl al-Bayt, through the glorious, infallible, immaculate progeny of Rasulullah, has an outward appearance where you are supplicating. The inward, the understanding that we get from this particular act is that Allah has said that through the Messenger that I leave for you two weighty things, Kitabullah wa itrati ahl bayti. If you take them both and if you adhere to them both, you will never go astray. And here in this Laylatul Qadr, you're saying to Allah, oh Allah, here's the Quran, I put it on top of my head, and I will make sure that the Quran is the first port of call that I will refer to in my life, is my guidance, is my inspiration, is my light. And the Ahlul Bayt, I will remember also. They are my examples, they are my role models. And you mention this, and you pray two rak'ats, where you recite seven times قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ and 70 times أَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ رَبِّي وَأَتُوبُ إِلَيْهِ. Once you have done this collectively, then it is recommended to spend a certain amount of the night in contemplation, in tafakkur, in deep thought. Where am I? Where am I going? Some of the ulama, brothers and sisters, they took Laylatul Qadr as the night where they sat down. You know how the accountants have for themselves? They sit on one day of the year. Here it is normally the 1st of April, but the beginning of the tax year. They go through their books. It is called tajreed, accountability. You sit there and you go through your finances and you say, how much have I got? How much did I give? How much did I spend? Then you come out with the total profit or total loss. Some of the ulama take Laylatul Qadr as their peak of the year, their peak, the start of their so-called business year. Of course, this is not a business. This is a business with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the best type of business. Inna Allah ishtara min al-mu'mineena amwalahum wa anfusahum bi anna lahum al-jannah. This is the best type of transaction. You sit in the night and you think with Allah. You say with Allah, Allah, oh Allah. You go through a stage of self-accountability, al-muhasabah, wal-musharata, where you go and you sit with Allah and you say, Allah, here am I with you. What have I done? Where am I going? Where is my plan? What is my destination? What I want to achieve in this world. What is my goal in the forthcoming year? You spend a certain amount of time. Then one of the most greatest recommended acts in this great night is seeking knowledge. Subhanallah. Look at Islam. The first word revealed to the Holy Prophet is Iqra. Read. Acquire knowledge. The emphasis of knowledge is unlimited in Islam. And you find that the Prophet says, seek knowledge, whether it is in China, and seek knowledge from the cradle to the grave. And then Laylatul Qadr is considered one of the mostly rewarded acts. And that is to seek knowledge. And there's two types of knowledge. Knowledge that will benefit you in this world and possibly in Akhirah. And there's a type of knowledge that will definitely benefit you in this world and Akhirah. And that is the knowledge of Allah, the knowledge of Deen, the ma'rifah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The final part of Laylatul Qadr should be spent in munajat. And we end with this. Munajat, brothers and sisters, is different to dua. Dua is supplication. Dua, according to the language, Arabic language, is when someone seeks or speaks to someone else or a being of higher stature. Some being that is higher than themselves. When you ask through dua, you are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is your creator. He is the master of the universe. That is dua. Munajat is different. Munajat is the whispered, secretive discussion or talking between friends, between lovers. Today, if you like somebody, you go and you whisper something in their ears. You don't want anyone else to hear because it is a private message between you and that individual. No one else is to hear it. Munajat is that type of recitation where you sit with Allah and with Allah alone. Any time, but is recommended in night of Qadr, where you sit there alone in the darkness of the night. No one else. And you speak with Allah openly and frankly. You speak with Allah however and whatever way you wish. And you deliberate. You empty your heart. And you go through many different types of stages that are recommended through the dua of Abu Hamza al-Thumali, narrated by the fourth Imam, Imam Zain al-Abidin, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi, whose munajat are absolutely outstanding. An individual who wants close proximity to Allah, who wants to achieve this state of loving Allah in this great night, becoming one of the awliya of Allah, the key, brothers and sisters, is dua Abu Hamza al-Thumali. Take it from me. Ask the ulama. The key is dua Abu Hamza al-Thumali. Normally we leave it to the last thing, where we are tired, we are hungry, we want to go to sleep, we do not understand what is being said. Eventually we just read it very quickly and it becomes the movements of the tongue and nothing changes from within. The goal, the ultimate goal, is to change from within, to purify ourselves for our tomorrow to be much better than our today. This munajat of Imam Zain al-Abidin, dua Abu Hamza al-Thumali, has many different parts that we can take. Consider the part, and I was preparing to speak about this munajat, but due to the short of time, I will allude to it very quickly. Consider the part that Imam alayhi salam, who is the physician of the soul, Imam is tabib al-nufus, Imam knows what is the problem with us. Why am I so far from Allah? Why do I not have this connection with Rabbul Alameen? Why is it that every time I come to pray to Allah, my mind goes for something else? I think about something else. I do not find pleasure in worship. Why? What is the problem with me? Why am I so attached to this world and far away from Allah? Why? Imam diagnoses the problem in Dua Abu Hamza al-Thumali. He says, oh Allah, maybe, possibly, it is because of 12 reasons. It is because of 12 things, Ya Rabb al-Alameen, that I do not find this pleasure. He says, oh Allah, every time I come to pray, every time I feel that I have received this spiritual elevation, I feel this emptiness and I slip and I go astray and this dunya and everything else makes me deviated. Why, oh Allah? What is it that is causing this? He says to Rabb al-Alameen, imagine if you take this part only and repeat it tonight and in these great nights, in the final nights of Layal al-Qadr. Sayyidi, la'allaka an babika tarattani. Oh Allah, maybe you've turned me away from your door. Today, if someone comes and knocks on your door, wants your help, you look at them. If they are presentable, if they have good akhlaq, if they have come with the best possible appearance, you might help them. You might send them away. They'll come back tomorrow. They'll come back another day. They will come back 100 times. Imam says, Sayyidi, la'allaka an babika tarattani. Why? Why has Allah shut the door of rahmah on us? It is because we have been neglectful of the duties and we constantly sin. We do not seek repentance. Here we are in front of Allah on the night of Qadr and our physical, our spiritual existence is full of black dots, constituents of the sin, making up of the sin. We are in front of Allah in total darkness. لَعَلَّكَ مِمْ عَنْ بَابِكَ تَرَدَّنِي وَعَنْ خِدْمَتِكَ نَحَيْتَنِي. And you have dismissed me from your service. That's the second reason. وَلَعَلَّكَ رَأَيْتَنِي مُسْتَخِفًا بِحَقِّكَ فَأَقْصَيْتَنِي. Maybe, O Allah, you have noticed that I have belittled the duties you have made incumbent upon me. And thus you have forsaken me aside. I'm neglectful of my duties. Allah has told me pray. I prayed for the final, last few minutes before it becomes qada. Allah tells me go to hajj. I leave hajj whenever I want to, not when it becomes wajib. Allah says do not look at forbidden things. I look at forbidden things. Allah says don't speak to the opposite gender and I speak to the opposite gender in unnecessary situations. I've become neglectful of my duties. أو لعلك رأيتني معرضا عنك فقليتني. Oh Allah, maybe you've seen me turned away from you, and then you've turned away from me as well. What does this i'raz mean? This i'raz means that when I come to Salat al-Layl, when I come to recitation of the Quran, it's a burden. But when I come to listening to music, it's joyful. When I come to seeing soap operas or things that I enjoy, I strive for, I work extra special for. But when it comes to Allah, recitation, remembrance, dhikr, I turn away. Allah says, you turn away from me, I turn away from you. It is an equal relationship. أَوْ لَعَلَّكَ وَجَدْتَنِي فِي مَقَامِ الْكَاذِبِينَ فَرَفَضْتَنِي. Brothers and sisters, maybe Allah, you found me to be of the liars. Liars how? I lie to myself. I am full of deception. I think that I am a righteous person. But within, inside, I am corrupt. My heart is evil. I look at people. I gaze at people. And I have full of hatred towards them. I do not have love and compassion towards them. And you are kadhib to yourself. Let alone kadhib to Allah and all of His other creations. You are not sadiq. You are not truthful. Tonight is the night where you become truthful to yourself. You sit there and you empty yourself from hatred of every individual. If you have a hatred, or if you're not speaking to someone due to a problem that you've had, or if you're involved in a fight with somebody, tonight is the night of reconciliation. You go and you sit with them and you speak with them and seek forgiveness. Imam says, maybe I am one of the kadhibin. أو لعلك رأيتني غير شاكر لنعمائك فحرمتني. You saw me not grateful for all your ni'am, therefore you have taken away this ni'am from me. You have turned away from me. This shukr, this being grateful for the ni'am of Allah, is how? Is when we are not sinning. Allah has given us the eyes, the ears, everything, all of our ni'am that we have been bestowed from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we sin, this is abuse of the ni'am. Therefore, we are not grateful for the ni'am of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the ultimate favors and the bounties. And then the imam comes to a very important point. Brothers and sisters, listen to this. أو لعلك فقدتني من مجالس العلماء فخذلتني. أو لعلك رأيتني في الغافلين فمن رحمتك آيستني. أو لعلك رأيتني آلف مجالس البطالين فبيني وبينهم خليتني. Imam said, we have a tendency. We go to places of jokes, laughter, wasting time. We enjoy it. We sit there with our friends, chat, hours and hours. Majalis al-Battalin, Imam says. These are the places where unemployed people, people who have no jobs, just sit there and chat. Or we could take a bit further. I sit there on the computer, online, and speak. Or I type on the messenger, on the chatting services, hours and hours and hours. And when someone comes and says, do Salatul Layl for 10 minutes, it feels heavy on my shoulders. I can't do it. And when someone says, go to Majalisul Ulama, Majalisul Ulama is the gatherings of the knowledgeable. You look at someone who is knowledgeable, Al-Alim al-Deen, and you want to benefit from him. Many people stay away. They attend one or two lectures, but as far as places of happiness or things that they themselves enjoy, they will quickly rush towards. But when it comes to spiritual upliftment, Imam said, maybe Allah, the problem with me is that I go to Majalis al-Battalin and I've left the Majalis al-Dhakirin. That's the problem. That's one of the problems that Imam says. أو لعلك لم تحب أن تسمع دعائي فباعدتني أو لعلك بجرمي وجريرتي كافيتني أو لعلك بقلة حيائي منك جازيتني. Imam mentions these. You sit there, and what do you do? What do you do? You clearly speak to Allah and you admit your sins. الإقرار بالنفس. We don't have time to go further into Dua Abu Hamza, but there is a part in Dua Abu Hamza where the Imam says, oh Allah, ana as-saghir alladhi rabbayta. I am this, ana alladhi ala sayyidihi ijtara, ana alladhi asaytu jabbar as-sama, ana sahibu ad-dawahi al-uzama. I am the one who has committed grave transgressions against you. Oh Allah, I am the one who's openly sinned you. Ana alladhi lam astahyika fil khala. I'm the one who is not ashamed of you when I'm alone and no one's there to see me. When I'm alone, I commit sins. Why? Because I do not see Allah being there. Imam says, admit your sins to Allah. Every single one of them. Why do we not admit our sins, brothers and sisters? Because it makes us feel depressed. How should I admit my sins? Why should I admit my sins? Imam says, sit there with Allah and say, oh Allah, I have done this. I have done this. Imam Zain al-Abideen once saw a man attached to the sitar of Kaaba. And he said, and he was speaking to Allah. And he said, oh Allah, I've committed a sin that you will never forgive me. And he was speaking to Allah. Imam said to him, what have you done? He said, I was involved in the massacre of your father, Abu Abdullah al-Husayn in Karbala. I was one of the army of Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad. Imam turned towards him and said, let me tell you one thing. You having despair from the mercy of Allah is a bigger sin than what you have just committed. لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله إن الله يغفر الذنوب جميعا. Allah forgives all sins. Do not despair from the mercy of Allah. Allah's rahmah has encompassed everything. Here he is in this holy month of Ramadan. His doors are open. The doors of paradise are open and the doors of gates of hell are closed. He wants you to get closer to him. He wants you to take something from this night and from the night of Qadr in order to be strengthened during the whole of the year. And the final thing that the Imams mentions, amongst many other things that he mentions in the dua, and that is to cry. وَعِنِّي عَلَى الْبُكَاءِ عَلَى نَفْسِي. Oh Allah, help me to cry over myself. Some people believe that crying is a negative attribute. If I cry, that's a weakness in me. I shouldn't cry. Crying is for people who have some kind of grief, or it's confined to people who are lonely. Here the Imam says, no, cry. Why? Because crying washes away your hearts. Admitting your guilt and crying with Allah, you and yourself, with Allah in the darkness of the night, in this munajat, purifies you, makes you an individual who has truly cleansed his soul. And then he says in the dua, famous dua of Abu Hamza al-Thumali, why should I cry? Oh Allah, there are many reasons why I should weep continuously. Many reasons why I should be weeping day and day out due to the heavy burdens of the sin of my shoulders. وَعِنِّي بِالْبُكَاءِ عَلَىٰ نَفْسِي فَقَدْ أَفْنَيْتُ عُمْرِي. Help me to cry over myself, Because I have wasted my life. وَقَدْ نَزَلْتُ مَنْزِلَةَ الْآيِسِينَ مِنْ خَيْرِي فَمَنْ يَكُونُ أَسْوَأَ حَالًا مِنِّي. Who is worse position than me? إِنْ أَنَا نُقِلْتُ عَلَى مِثْلِ حَالِي إِلَى قَبْرٍ لَمْ أُمَهِّدْهُ لِرَقْدَتِي. Oh Allah, who is in a worse position than me when I am transferred to that particular place, this qabr? If during it, وَلَمْ أَبْكِي وَمَا أَدْرِي إِلَى مَا يَكُونُ مَصِيرِي. Why should I not cry, and I do not, and I know, and I do not know where my destination is? What will happen to me? وَأَرَى نَفْسِي تُخَادِعُنِي وَأَيَّامِي تُخَاتِلُنِي وَقَدْ خَفَقَتْ عِنْدَ رَأْسِي أَجْنِحَةُ الْمَوْتِ. Imam says, remember death, because death will generate these tears in your eyes. فَمَالِي لَا أَبْكِي أَبْكِي لِخُرُوجِ نَفْسِي أَبْكِي لِظُلْمَةِ قَبْرِي أَبْكِي لِضَيْقِ لَحْدِي أَبْكِي لِسُؤَالِ مُنْكَرٍ وَنَكِيرٍ إِيَّاي أبكي لخروجي من قبري عريانا ذليلا حاملا ثقلي على ظهري أنظر مرة عن يميني وأخرى عن شمالي إذ الخلائق في شأن غير شأني لكل امرئ منهم يومئذ شأن يغني. I cry. Why? Because the hadith says that on the day of judgment, there are three eyes, three types of eyes that people have that will never be punished in hellfire. The first that cries due to fear of Allah. And the second eye that will not taste the chastisement and the punishment in Jahannam is the eye and that lowers itself from the forbidden scenes. And the third type of eye that will not be punished in the day of judgment is the eyes that cries for the musibah of Aba Abdullah, the tragedy of Karbala. And why should we not cry when we mourn Aba Abdullah al-Hussein? Everything that happened on the day of Ashura, before the day of Ashura, after the day of Ashura, kulluha masa'ib, kulluha masa'ib. Everything is sadness and grief. Why should we not cry? We remember the final moments when Aba Abdullah al-Hussein was leaving to the battlefield. He bid his farewell to his sisters, to his daughters, to all his family, one by one. Usikum bis-sabr, remember Allah, be patient. He mounted his horse. He started moving towards the army of Yazid. All of a sudden, he heard the cry, Akhi ya Hussein. Oh, my beloved brother, ya Hussein, come back. Where have you gone? He turns back. It is his sister, Al-Aqila Zainab. What is it, oh sister? What is it, oh my beloved sister? You have shattered my heart. What has happened? Sayyida Zainab turned towards Imam al-Hussein and said to him, oh Sayyidi, dismount from your horse, come down, I want to do something. What does Sayyida Zainab want to do? Imam al-Hussein comes down from his horse, he comes close to Sayyida Zainab. Al-Aqila Zainab comes to him, she starts to kiss his holy neck, she embraces his chest, then she looks towards Najaf, towards Al-Baqir, towards Medina. As-salamu alayki ya ummah, ya Fatimah al-Zahra. The Sayyida Zainab says, peace be upon you, oh my beloved mother, Fatimah al-Zahra. Imam al-Hussein says, oh my beloved sister, what have you just done? Why did you just do this? Sayyida Zainab says, oh my beloved brother, when our mother was lying there in her final few moments, She gave me a special responsibility. She told me not to forget to do this on the day of Ashura. What was the responsibility? She said that before your brother goes to fight, then make sure that you kiss him at the place where he will be beheaded. And make sure you embrace him on the place that will be crushed by the hooves of the horses. ألا لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا آل محمد أي منقلب ينقلبون والعاقبة للمتقين. نسألك اللهم وندعوك باسمك العظيم الأعظم العز الأجل الأكرم يا الله يا الله يا الله. This is a great night. It's a night of ibadah, night of supplication, night of dhikr. We need to remember all of the Muslimin, all of the Mu'mineen, all the Atba' Ahl al-Bayt, in Masharik al-Ardi wa Gharibiha, every corner of the world, they have Hawa'ij, they need your dua. Do not forget them in your dua. Remember the people in Iraq, remember all the Muslimin with your dua and the supplications. Let us all raise our hands to the sky and pray together. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Amman yujibu al-mudtar idha da'ah wa yakshifu al-su' Amman yujibu al-mudtar idha da'ah wa yakshifu al-su' أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء يا الله يا الله يا الله اللهم اكشف عنا السوء والبلوى يا أرحم الراحمين شافي مرضانا وفقنا لقيام هذه الليالي المباركة ارحمنا برحمتك الواسعة عجل لوليك الفرج واجعلنا من المؤمنين به والمستشهدين بين يديه المؤسسين لهذا المجلس الشريف تقبل اللهم أعمالهم بأحسن القبول وإلى أرواح أمواتهم وأموات المؤمنين والمؤمنات رحم الله من قرأ الفاتحة تسبقها الصلاة على محمد وآل محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.